Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of Uncanny Treks as we continue our trek through Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 3. We are on Episode 4, Space Adventure Hour. I am Bob in Cascadia. That is Matt in the Southland. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
Bob, when you first started this episode, what was your immediate impression when you saw the set and the characters?
I thought, man, they really got the sets right.
Yeah, they did.
That was my first thought.
They really did. Jim Kirk, spot on. Just spot on, man.
Wouldn't you think this would mollify all the internet haters who don't like vegan Jim Kirk? Wouldn't you think they would see him do the pause oh so perfectly and they'd be like, oh, this is our Kirk. This is our Kirk reincarnated.
And he looks like I imagine Shatner thought he looked in his head. Does that make sense?
Ouch. Yeah. That's mean, but yes, that's accurate and fair, I would say.
They even got the camera cuts right. They got the lighting right. It was beautiful. But there are still people complaining. What is wrong with the world?
I'm disrespectful to the original series. I don't know if you know that.
If you've watched the original series, this is what it was. It was exactly this. Slightly exaggerated, I'll give you that. But it was this. And it blows my mind, Bob.
Yeah, the dialogue was a better in the original series.
They had better diction.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, man. I just want to say, as a teacher who assigns a lot of poetry reading to students, I get really annoyed when the kids talk about the poetry having diction as a special feature. It means word choice. It's a universal feature of human communication.
You have to choose which words to use, Bob. They want to make sure that the words were chosen specifically for that poem and not just random. that they're not just typing monkeys, Bob.
Indeed. Well, in the era of the LLM, aren't we all just typing monkeys? Which we'll get to, Matt. We'll get to. But before we get to that, what goes down in Space Adventure Hour?
Well, Bob, Leanne is given the mission to test out a new technology meant for long-haul space travel. And that technology, Bob, is the holodeck. Now, Bob, do you remember when we first see what we would consider the holodeck in Star Trek?
Yeah, they actually directly reference it in this. I think they do call it the recreation room, and it's in the Practical Joker episode of the animated series.
That's right. The rec room. I think we cover that episode at some point, but man, I know what they're talking about.
Indeed, indeed. See, animated series, canon, dog. It's totally canon. And I guess the second appearance, unless I'm forgetting something else, would be the Kobayashi Maru scenario in Star Trek II, which you have a reference to in this as well, because Pike and Number One are explaining why they picked Leon to have the test run on the holodeck, and they're talking about all of her experiences and battle simulations. Those would be our first two holodecks, Rec Room, Practical Joker, and then Kobayashi Maru and Rapcon.
But was the battle simulation, was that holographic? I don't think it was. Which is why, in my brain, I feel like the combat simulators were more like the Danger Room type things. Like they used real machinery and stuff or made it look like it's supposed to. Whereas the holodeck is all holograms, bent light, hard light, whatever they want to call it to make it work.
Well, they definitely have the made-up images of Klingon battle cruisers and the Klingon commander and the civilian ship on the monitors.
Right.
And then I can't remember if they were actually on the bridge of the Enterprise or if that was a specific chamber. I want to say it was a specific
chamber. I'm thinking it was a chamber. I do know that that part, the actual bridge, was physical. But you're right about the visualizations. It reminds me of old school video games. Slowly the technology has advanced.
Well, Matt, we do see, and this is just interesting because we haven't really seen holodeck episodes in the new Trek, have we? Other than Lower Decks. Lower Decks, the holodecks to do movie episodes, as I recall, that are parodying the next gen movies. But beyond Lower Decks and maybe Prodigy, I don't remember. We haven't seen live action holodeck stuff, right?
No, not since I'm assuming Voyager.
And then did you watch the Discovery season set in the far future?
I did not, no.
I feel like they did not have holodeck episodes, but now I'm questioning myself. But I feel like they were I mean, I feel like that's always the problem with Discovery, is it was too wrapped up in its meaningless season-long plot that they didn't have time to burn an episode on holodecks.
They didn't have fun in Discovery. There was no fun.
They didn't have fun, and they didn't develop the supporting cast. No. It was grim. It was grim. That said, since I think I'm right in saying this is the first holodeck business we've really seen in the LLM age of Star Trek, the last couple of years of Star Trek, I did want to ask, did you feel a little sad that, oh yeah, I guess the holodeck does have to run out off AI, and I guess it does have to assimilate the 130 or whatever the number was of novels of this character that Leon loved as a kid to produce this simulation?
When it went into all that piece with the computer AI and everything, talking about that, all I could think about were how the LLMs, they can take the information you put in, but keeping up with it in a way that makes sense, they cannot do that yet for long stretches of time. It's hard. I can't even do like a decent choose your own adventure with some LLMs because it just loses the plot halfway through. It's fun though. It's fun to play around with, I'll admit that, but I'm burning a whole tree doing my choose your own adventure Batman story.
You're burning a whole tree and you're burning a hole in your soul and in your brain. And whether your soul, sure, or whatever, but I don't know, repair the hole in your brain?
I don't know, Bob, and that's probably going to be the issue because I think we're eventually all going to be plugged up to LLMs and it's going to suck, but we'll see.
Matt, I'm going to starve on the street before that happens.
I just think that we're going to need way more power and way more prompting before we can get anything near what this thing can construct just from Leon being, I want to do this and this and this and a story about this. And I'm like, okay.
I'd sort of account for this plot, how much work Scotty has to do and how much power that the holodeck is taking from the ship and putting it in danger, which, granted, that's in the tradition of holodeck episodes, right? Of, oh, the holodeck goes wrong and takes over the ship.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But it was interesting in this episode that the way they did that really did feel like a nod to these energy and capability constraints that we see current day LLM.
As a video game nerd, Bob, I do love that there was an excuse as to why they're using the characters on the ship because of their transporter patterns had already been scanned. In the same way they scan people for 3D models in video games. It's the same idea. It's just a cool way to explain why he had to use those characters, why you saw them and not randos.
And it is this funny, nerdy thing of the integration of all technologies on the ship, right? We've sort of seen that. I forget specific examples, but there's a lot of talk about using the transporter in medical science on the ship, too. And so it's just funny, this sort of total integration. In prior holodeck episodes of Next Gen and Voyager, where they try to explain the holodeck, I feel like they do talk about the transporter being involved in a certain way.
I need to go back and rewatch some of the holodeck episodes, though I will say that most people hate the holodeck episodes based on my internet research.
They are polarizing. There's people who think they're useless, and then there are people who love them.
I'm good with it. I think the main concern with a lot of people is that you only have 10 episodes of Strange New World, and they feel like, I'm putting up air quotes, Bob, wasted an episode. I don't feel that way, but there are people that have that opinion.
There are ways in which that's not an irrational concern, right? But it also, clearly the writers don't have that much overarching plot to do because they're constrained by the prequel structure. And so in that sense, it makes total sense for them to, quote, waste an episode. And then there's also just the sense that, yeah, it's just so, so nice to finally get standalone Star Trek again, which we haven't had really since season two of Enterprise, unless you count Lower Decks. So there's that sense. But I don't know. Then there also is just the funny idea that any episode that doesn't advance some really crappy overall plot, a la Prodigy, Picard, and Discovery is a waste, which is a very funny thing, especially since this episode does spend so much time advancing the Spock-Leon soap opera.
There's plenty of stuff that's going to be carried on over into the next couple episodes. That complaint to me is not very valid, but it is what it is.
Are you surprised at how radically Scotty has replaced Pelia this season?
It's been quick, and a lot of people, this is another internet opinion that is, it's more than just one person. If it was one guy saying the same thing, whatever, but a lot of people are saying Carol Kane, Bob's dead weight.
That's insane, man.
I know. I love her on the show. I don't get it. I don't know if she's just not on the show for a reason or not. They needed Scotty in her place. I don't know.
It's interesting. I think some of the lines for Pelia in season two I found a little off. I don't remember the specifics, but I remember complaining about that a bit. But on the other hand, I don't know, just to just call Carol Kane deadweight, pretty crazy. Although it is a little bit, one, if you're going to have her on the show, you ought to have her on the show. And then if you're not going to have her on the show, you ought to write her off the show.
Right. So, like, did they even explain, like...
Yeah, they said shore leave.
Gotcha.
There is a way where it makes sense the way they're writing Scotty. It's that he's taking over, but he's not in charge yet. They may want to have that as a dimension for Scotty. That may not just be making a virtue out of necessity.
I will say the guy playing Scotty Bob, actual Scott.
You liking Martin Quinn?
Yes. Martin Quinn's amazing. He sounds like him, looks like him. And then the whole relationship between him and Uhura, there's that going on.
Did you think they were teasing the Scotty Uhura romance? Or I don't know, if I can't remember if it was a full-on romance, but it was at least Scotty Uhura sexual tension from Star Trek V, The Final Frontier.
They're going there, Bob. Everybody's going to make out before the end of all this.
Yeah, the arc of Strange New Worlds is not that long because it's 10 episodes a season and it bends towards everybody making out.
It's going to be really interesting to go back and watch the original series with all these built-in romances.
Just knowing everybody was banging the whole time off screen. So, Matt, I did want to raise this. So here's four thoughts on the Spock and Leon romance. On the one hand, it's a little silly to have Spock romance a character named Sing before meeting Khan, right? But then on the other hand, you get the feeling that Leon is going to quickly brush Spock off and tell him she won't be his rebound after Chapel. But then in the third place, it's really interesting that the actors playing Spock and Leon seem to have enough chemistry that it might really console the fans who are super bitter about Spock and Chapel, which there were many, judging by the reviews of the prior Spock and Chapel episode. I do think it's hilarious that I saw reviewers accusing Spock of being a player, but Leon's a player too, man. She had that time travel sexual tension with Kirk last season, and she's getting with actual Spock this season. It's just funny that in season four, is she going to hook up with McCoy?
She's just going to brush it off. I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. I think we're going to see maybe a little bit of tension, some slight tension between Chapel and maybe a line or two about nothing crazy, though.
I mean, do you actually think they will, Leon and Chapel, having tension? I could see it, but I could also see them not doing it because they're trying to be very modern and progressive and woke. And
well, I think Chapel may have some slight regrets, maybe. I don't know. Maybe if she sees Spock happy. In the grand scheme of things, I think this is just going to be brushed off.
Well, I would guess, I could be wrong, but I'll put down my marker of we probably will have some silly episode later in the season that's a hijinks episode that involves Spock and Leon and Kobe and Chapel as couples.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, even if Spock and Leon are not a full-on couple by that point, I think they probably will try to, the writers probably won't resist trying to play something with that.
You think they'll bring in?
Oh, they should. They brought her in for single episodes in the prior two seasons, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that would be very good, man. Spock, as a reviewer on Serialized said, Spock really is a hoe.
Yeah, he is.
Well, Matt, we've kind of delayed getting to the mystery part of this holodeck episode, which is very fun. When we first see Leon in like a Philip Marlowe, Nancy Drew outfit with like a red fedora, did that make you laugh?
Yeah, all I can think of was like Carmen Sandiego. Remember Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, of course I remember Carmen Sandiego, Matt. How could I forget?
good look.
We mentioned Carmen Sandiego on some prior incarnation of this podcast, and I was trying to figure out, if I wanted to nostalgically revisit Carmen Sandiego media or go to a new Carmen Sandiego media, what should I go to? I never found the answer.
That's something we're not going to do.
No, not for the podcast.
That was a game show at first, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to watch a game show. Maybe I should try to watch the cartoon, although I'm sure it's unwatchable.
Yeah, it had a good theme song.
There was a crazy virtual reality style Carmen Sandiego cartoon, right? That was similar to that virtual reality Johnny Quest cartoon.
Yeah, to some degree. I remember there was a character in it who was a computer AI thing that looked like Egon from the Ghostbusters cartoon. Yeah. It was a girl and a boy. They were brother and sister. And they were the ones going on the adventures around the world to catch Carmen Sandiego.
God. So it was children protagonist. Okay.
We've mentioned a couple of things about detectives. Spock does say at one point that he is a descendant of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Do you know that this tracks all the way back to Star Trek VI?
No, I had totally forgotten that. There's a line to that effect in Star Trek VI.
Yeah, Spock quotes Doyle.
If you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth.
Bingo. There you go.
He quotes that, and then he says like, from an ancestor. And
ancestor's the word, yes. Ancestor.
Oh, man, I didn't know Amanda Grayson was English, although I think Doyle was actually Scottish, so I didn't know Amanda Grayson was Scottish.
Well, the original writer of Star Trek VI apparently said he was asked about it at cons and stuff, and he said it was meant as a joke, so you know, take it with what you want.
In some cultures, the term ancestor is used in a broader and not necessarily a literal sense.
The idea is that he's logical, like Sherlock Holmes. That's all it is. I just look very forward to the episode of the holodeck thing where Spock meets Sherlock Holmes, but Sherlock Holmes is played by Brent Spiner.
That would be fun. That would be fun. I don't think it would make sense, and it's worth doing, but I would really like to see Holo Moriarty meet the Strange New World.
Oh, that would be awesome, because, I mean, we saw him in Picard, didn't we?
Was it Picard or was it Lower? No, what? Yeah, he was killed off in Picard season 3 or something. He was part of the plot to getting to the conspiracy in Picard season 3.
Yes, he can still come back.
I don't know that there's much room to do a prequel. They create him in that first Data Sherlock episode. I don't know that there's much room prequel to that.
Well, judging by the feedback about this holodeck episode, I don't think they're going to change
it. I disagree. I really had to look. I don't know where you were looking, but on Serialized, I really had to dig for negative comments. I would say people seem to like this one far more than the Spock Chapel one.
And the musical.
I wasn't looking at Serialized comments back then, but I think my sense was that the people who hated the musical episode are the people who hate the show. I don't know that there were that many people who the show. I despise this episode. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. While I do think that they, yeah, you are right. I think it's partially because, once again, it's a reason I should be off Reddit, because I think my age is just starting to show on Reddit.
Matt's outing himself as an old man.
I need a new platform.
Well, Matt, in the Holo Simulation, we have Chapel and Mbinga as a couple. We have Pike playing Gene Roddenberry. We have Una playing a mix of Majel Barrett and Lucille Ball. Which of those three options made you laugh?
I mean, the Pike is Gene Roddenberry. Number one, his hair is all messed up, which is funny because you never see Pike with messed up hair. And then
the hair is not on point. It's hilarious.
And then it did take me a minute to realize he was supposed to be a stand-in for Gene Roddenberry, but it made sense after all the different things that went down.
Yeah, I would have to go with Pike as Gene Roddenberry, too. Although hearing Jess Bush actually have an Australian accent was pretty crazy. The costumes they got from Mbinga and Chapel were great. I love that late 60s, early 70s look that they both had.
Oh, it looked awesome. It's very colorful. You don't see that anymore, Bob. You don't see that in Discovery.
Well, Matt, we get to see amongst the Holo characters a lot of conflict between Vegan Kirk and different characters, although at this point, is it even fair to call him Vegan Kirk? Because he just is playing Shatner Kirk.
He looks amazing. Yeah, he is Kirk.
And listeners, that is the name that some haters gave Paul Wesley as Kirk when he first debuted. And I think that was that the season one finale of the show?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, which I thought was not entirely accurate, but really funny. And so I stuck with it. In the conflict between, is the conflict for you between Kirk and Chapel, or Kirk and Roddenberry, or, you know, Kirk and Pike, with Pike as Roddenberry? Which of those do you find?
I find anything between Kirk and Pike pretty hilarious. But the Kirk and Chapel stuff was great, too. There's nothing, that's the thing about this episode, Bob. Like, I thought every bit of it was just delightful. It reminded me a little bit of that Clue movie we used to watch all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Same idea. Those are always fun. Just quick murder mystery type thing. We know they're not going to die in this holodeck simulation. The real stakes aren't there. I mean,
for Clue, if listeners aren't familiar, there's the board game, and they did a farcical comedy in the 80s, although we were dumb as kids and didn't really realize it was a comedy. They do a farcical comedy, and they just get 8 or so great character actors and just let them really ham it up as these really broad caricatures, right?
Which you can see that the actors and actresses are having fun with their roles, which you don't see a lot on TV nowadays.
You don't see a lot of that on Picard or Discovery either.
Well, that's just because they show up. They just, hey, I'm here.
I can't remember if we've brought this up before, Matt, but do you have any opinions about the Murder, She Wrote conspiracy theory? Do you know the Murder, She Wrote conspiracy theory?
No. What is that?
The conspiracy theory is that Angela Lansbury does all the murders because they always happen when she's around.
Oh. Well,
we see Pike as Roddenberry proposing that actually Leon is the killer because she's gone to 120 different cases and there's always a murder, right?
It sounds like maybe this Batman break his villains out of Arkham Asylum so he can catch them again.
Exactly. Is Amelia Moon or is Jessica Fletcher, as played by Angela Lansbury, the real villain? I once dated a girl who really liked Murder, She Wrote, and she really hated that theory, and she would get deeply indignant and proclaim that the point of Murder, She Wrote is not the mystery. The point of Murder, She Wrote is outfits that Angela Lansbury wears in the new environments.
Have you watched a decent amount of Murder, She Wrote by chance, since you did have a girlfriend who liked it?
I watched a fair amount with her, although I was busy then prepping for exams. I wasn't the best boyfriend. And then I watched an awful lot of Murder, She Wrote when we were kids.
Yeah, my grandmother was always into that show, and I watched a couple of episodes, but I was a kid and don't really remember much about this.
Yeah, Murder, She Wrote was one of those weird shows that I believe my mother and my grandmother liked, although they didn't watch religiously or anything, but I would watch with them, but I would also watch on my own.
It reminds me of a Matlock. People watched it, but it wasn't must-see TV.
It's comfort TV more than must-see TV. So, Matt, when you first see Spock in the hologram, or sorry, rephrase that. When you first see Spock appear in the holodeck with Leon, I thought he might be a hollow Spock, but the show did a pretty good job of assuaging that because I just didn't know if the hollow Spock went in the way he did on the holodeck. And so I was somewhat surprised when they revealed that, oh, he was a hologram. I feel they should have found a way to explain what real Spock was doing during the emergency, since they didn't show real Spock off the ship, or rather, they didn't show real Spock off the holodeck. They should have come up with some way to explain what he was up to. That would be my one criticism of the plotting of the episode.
That's what really threw me off, too, because you have an emergency going on the ship and you expect Spock to be on the bridge, like, coming up with solutions, and he's not. So was he sleeping? I don't know.
Having a nap in morning chapel.
The other thing, too, is the first time you see Spock in the holodeck, they made a big deal out of making sure everyone knew that Leanne was wearing that cuff or whatever to record her feelings and stuff during the dance scene with Spock. That's why he was the one who showed up in the holodeck program as the murderer.
Hey, you're right. I actually didn't track that, but you're right that they did that.
I don't know if that, so we don't really know for sure if the first Spock we see is just part of the program or...
No, we definitely know now that it's a hologram.
Another thing too, Bob, we never see the holodeck door open. The arch.
Which I wonder if that's intentional just to, because they want to give a prototype feel, they wanted to leave out a couple of the tropes of it.
Well, that's the thing. You see Spock that first time, he just walks down a corridor in the actual scene. You see him leaving. And I was like, why isn't he going out an arch? That's weird. But just a little thing. And it may not have even been a hint, but it was weird. Just, I picked up on that. And I felt proud of myself for picking up on that.
I did want to ask, I think I've already forgotten, where did, this is relevant to the episode, but it's not directly a plot thing about the episode. Where did they leave Battelle last week?
Okay, I'm just going to say, I think she's cured. I think, okay. But not the way that you want her to be cured.
With the hybrid Gorn DNA.
Yes. She did not have the no Gorn abortion.
And presumably she's going to take command of the new ship she was going to take command of at the start of the episode.
Yes, and then we're going to have her go Gorn on in that ship
at
some point.
It's not going to be as cured as we thought. Okay. And then I also, this is very mild complaint. I thought this was a great episode, but I guess a slightly mild complaint. You know, they introduced Nurse Gamble as the replacement for Nurse Chapel. And they made a big deal out of everybody liking him. And they've made a point of showing him in at least one episode, or at least one scene each episode. But I don't know, they still haven't done anything with him, which I'm a little annoyed with. They've just had this new character and they're like, oh, he's great, everybody loves him. Have him do something cool. You don't have to save the ship, but just have him have a funny interaction with Mbinga or with Leon or something.
He had a great interaction with Spock last week.
That was a pretty good scene, but it had nothing to do. It was funny to see Spock deck someone.
You mean it could have been anybody?
Yes, Matt. Did you realize in the opening scene, to go all the way back to make this thing circular, that was Rebecca Romijn playing the alien in the opening scene?
Did you know, Bob, that that wasn't Rebecca Romijn playing the alien? It was actually the person who played the bartender in the last episode.
I think in the blooper reel, it was pretty clear.
I thought it as well, Bob, at first, but then I had to do some research and know. Totally credited.
Totally wrong.
Yeah, it's an actress who's really into that kind of like makeup stuff on. Let me pull her name.
Interesting.
Because I was going to call you on it. It's Kira Gulian.
I'm really stupid because I was going to say I felt stupid that I didn't realize it was number one in the opening scene, but now I'm stupid for thinking it was number one.
Bob didn't have a whole different character as the producer person.
The way they presented her is she was a producer and an actress, right? She's modeled on Lucille Ball, who was a producer of Star Trek. They introduced her as both an actress and a producer, and we didn't see her in the opening scene. Matt, who was your character of the week this week?
I'm just going to give it to Lam, Bob. She looked cool. I like Leanne on this show. She's a great character. She's one of the standouts. She's beautiful woman, too.
She was definitely the character I was the most skeptical about at the start of the show, just because she feels heavy prequelitis. Oh, God, you have to have a character that has the name Sing, right? But they've spotlighted her really well in the three seasons of the show, and her spotlight episode in the alternate reality with Kirk and Baby Khan, that was really good. They've really done a lot with her.
I'm gonna be sad when she does eventually die, which is probably gonna happen.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think this show has got the hardness in it to kill her. I could be wrong, but I don't think they do. I put down my marker on that.
We'll see. Yeah, between her and Rios, one of them's gonna die.
Well, absolutely spoiled for choice here, but you went with Leon. I think I would say vegan Jim Kirk was my character of the week. I don't know if I've picked him in prior episodes he's appeared. I definitely feel I should pick.
Yeah, it was a great choice. That impersonation is spot on. William Shatner's probably watching that and just
fuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't want them to redo the original series, but with these actors, I definitely watch it and enjoy it.
I would watch every episode religiously, just like I watch Strange New Worlds.
It's time for the funniest moment of the week. That's where we check in with our internet hater of the week. Who's your internet hater of the week?
My internet hater comes from Reddit and the Strange New Worlds thread. And it is a little long, but it's pretty funny. It says, I'm a Trek fan. I've watched almost every show of every release there is, all the movies, all everything, but season 3, episode 3 was meh, and season 3, episode 4 was downright unwatchable. The writers really missed their mark with the latest episode. People watch Star Trek for the sci-fi and action and adventure, and this episode was none of that. I turned it off 12 minutes in because the style of acting in this episode is horrible, and it's just not something I want to watch. Bring back adventures in space, fighting space aliens, cool weapons, stuff like that. But leave episode 4 stuff in the trash. It's just not entertaining. How can you like fighting space aliens, cool weapons, and adventures in space, and dislike season 3, episode 3. That's my first issue.
This person has definitely never seen an episode of the original series, and has definitely never seen any episodes of Strange New Worlds from season 1 or 2, right?
Or a holodeck episode. You watched all the other holodeck episodes and were okay with those, but this is where you draw the line. Give me a break.
That's one of the things I always try to be a little bit fair-minded about, is I've become a hater of Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard, dear listeners, but I still do maintain there's some really hyperbolic haters of all new Trek out there, or most new Trek. And the way they talk, they seem to forget that large chunks of all Star Trek shows are bad. The only exceptions to that, I would say, are DS9 and Strange New Worlds. And Lower Decks. I love the original series. I love it. But like one third amazing episodes, one third okay episodes, and one third rough episodes. Or in The Next Generation, I maintain that most of season 1, 2, and 7 are terrible.
Yeah, season 1 is bad. Season 1 is horrible. I don't know how that show stayed on the air.
Season 7, where they're bringing back all the family members. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Troy's dad episode, or Data's mother episode, Worf's brother, Picard's illegitimate son. Those are terrible episodes.
But Bob, we want 22 episode seasons.
I do, but there's a price. Certainly DS9 had some bad episodes in those first two seasons too, but DS9, once it got cooking, didn't stop cooking. Voyager was always very up and down. Enterprise was always very up and down. People talk about, oh, Star Trek has never been bad before. There's large chunks of all Star Trek series, except for Strange New Worlds and DS9, that are pretty rough.
And going back to the quote, though, Bob, if I only watched 12 minutes of this episode, I wouldn't make a judgment.
If we take the writer at his word, I guess he did get past the opening credits, but I almost wondered, did he even get past the opening credits? Did he just think the opening show turned it off?
Don't know what you're missing.
So I'm pretty negative about Matt's hater. My hater, I think, actually, this is a really funny line, and it was actually a pretty thoughtful and sensitive review. I just took this funny line out of it. And I do think it speaks to a legitimate concern that people can have about how the show is treating Spock. So in that sense, I don't pull this line out solely to mock it. I pull it out because I think it brings up an interesting concept that I want to hear your response to. And also just because I thought the writing and the rhetoric of the line was pretty funny, pretty powerful. But my hater of the week said, hot take, but Spock not capitalized, does not capitalized, need to fuck, leave him alone, all caps.
Well, Bob, in my opinion, Spock's half human.
But only half the time.
Which, I mean, if okay, so all of TOS, he didn't fuck. Now, Strange New Worlds, he fucks.
That's not strictly true. He definitely has...
He had the Pawn 4 episode and all that, yeah.
There's several others. There's the one where he goes to the cloud world. That's a metaphor for apartheid. He nearly pulls a chick. There's the one where he gets trapped in the prehistory of that planet. That's one of the last episodes of the original series. Spock doesn't get down as much as Kirk, but he gets down.
Well, anything after TOS, Bob, I seriously doubt he does. I mean, come on. We're not seeing Ambassador Spock hook up with anybody.
Do you know in the old novel continuity, do you know who Spock marries?
Please. I used to know, but I don't know now.
Saavik.
Which Saavik was it, though? Was it the one from Cheers, or was it the one from the other? Kirstie Alley in the second movie. And then in
Robin
the
Curtis.
There.
Listeners, we are on Candy Treks. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. See us next week for the next episode.
Thanks for listening.